The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
If I get elected, now if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it.
We just have to win this election because he's even predicting a bloodbath. What does that mean? He's going to exact a bloodbath? There's something wrong here.
Trump has always done this. You know, we've been watching this show for over 8 years now, and others who, like myself, who've covered him for years, have seen it even longer. He uses these high-impact words that have either the direct or implicit tone of violence, right? Mm-hmm. January 6th, come down. It's going to be wild. Go up to Capitol and fight like him. I mean, he says these things over and over again, and he's actually used explicit violent language in telling his own people at rallies to beat the you-know-what out of protesters at these rallies. So at this point in the game, trying to parse a word like bloodbath strikes me as being entirely absurd. Mm. He's violent. He, in the same speech, he calls the people, hundreds and over thousands, who beat up cops a block or two away from where we're sitting today, he called them unbelievable patriots. This is violence, violence, violence. So when he says the word bloodbath, he knows what he's doing, whether he means an economic bloodbath or something else. In the same speech, he is endorsing political violence.
We begin tonight with the race for the White House and former President Trump's campaign now on the defensive after his fiery rhetoric at a rally in Dayton, Ohio on Saturday night. Trump warning while discussing the economy that there would be a, quote, bloodbath if he is not reelected in November. This after the former president kicked off the event by paying tribute to those who attacked the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. President Biden's campaign swiftly denouncing those comments as threats of political violence.
The outrage machine in high gear this morning, actually all weekend. That's in response to a comment that Donald Trump made on Saturday in Dayton, Ohio. It's interesting to me. I mean, you know these networks. None of them will play any speeches that Donald Trump gives. Remember, they cut away from it. They say, we can't broadcast this to you in good faith because he just spews lies. He's just lying all the time. So they won't show it in its entirety, but they certainly do watch it themselves. And they are, look, they're hunting for, in this case, one word. They got it. They got it. Bloodbath. And so now we have the bloodbath narrative, false narrative, I should say. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. It's hard to believe when we get to the last show of the week on Friday, and it seems like the weekends go by just as fast, if not faster. So here we are, another week of broadcasting on KPCG. That's our local radio station here. Of course, we broadcast live video through streaming methods. That's at TrumpetDaily.com and also at the Rumble channel. You just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. Lots to get to on today's show. Generally speaking, on Monday, we've got more clips than we usually play, and we do have quite the collection for you today. Richard Palmer touched on this story in his morning brief, how that he promised this bloodbath if he loses the election. And then the New York Times, as Richard wrote, MSNBC, CBS, AFP, NPR, Rolling Stone, Drudge Report, the Biden campaign, Nancy Pelosi. We'll play Pelosi's commenter. Actually, it was there in the cold open. All of them saying the exact same thing, completely taking the comment out of context. And basically saying, now we can't play the whole speech. We don't want you to hear, even just a minute gives it the context. We're just going to give you a few seconds. And then you believe us. He's promising violence. It's going to be another January 6th. And of course, even that's a lie. That was not a violent protest. except for the violence aimed at Ashley Babbitt. No weapons. They have mastered the... It shows just how desperate they are. They're in full-scale panic mode. Everybody's morning meltdown. Because they know, as even Joe Scarborough admitted, that if they're going to take down Trump, they're going to have to do it at the ballot box. And this terrifies them. Sam showed me a poll today from Pennsylvania. That was one of the swing states where it was kind of a toss-up, but some of them had Biden with a razor-thin lead there. And today, Trump is ahead. He's pulling ahead in all of these states. And Trump even noted this in Dayton, Ohio. He said, something amazing's happening here, and I think it's because of the destruction that Joe Obama's bringing on the nation. More and more people are throwing their support behind Donald Trump. And what he was talking about there with respect to the bloodbath comment is the Chinese and how they're using the Mexico loophole, basically, to get by some of the rules and regulations and the tariffs that we put on Chinese goods. They're building these big factories in Mexico, sending these cheaper cars or electric vehicles to the United States. Totally getting around. Going around U.S. laws. And Trump said, if we don't stop this, it's going to destroy. It's going to destroy the auto industry. There will be a bloodbath, in other words. Listen to the clip from Trump, this time with context added, clip two.
Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it, went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. We're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories of.
So you see what he said there. You know what he's talking about. And it's not like these others in the regime media have never used the word bloodbath. We'll get to that in just a second. Donald Trump, he tweeted out, or this is on Truth Social, the fake news media and their Democrat partners in the regime media. I mean, that is the mouthpiece. You see it every day. They're the mouthpiece for the dear leader's government. It says here, the fake news media and their Democrat partners in the destruction of our nation pretended to be shocked at my use of the word bloodbath, even though they fully understood that I was simply referring to imports allowed by crooked Joe Biden, which are killing the automobile industry. The automobile industry, they know what's going on here. They know what he said, and they happen to agree with him. Donald Trump, that is. The United Auto Workers, but not their leadership, fully understand what I mean. With the electric car mandate being pushed by Biden, there soon won't be any cars made in the USA unless I'm elected president. If he's not elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the automobile industry in the United States. Listen, though, to this is amazing to me. This is the Biden campaign communications director. As soon as they won't show you his speeches, but they're watching every word. As soon as they heard bloodbath, then the communications director, he rushes to the media outlets. And he says this, clip five.
What I heard was a continuation of the same rhetoric, the same endorsement of political violence that we've seen from Donald Trump for years, as you pointed out. It goes even farther back, right? This is the same guy who, after Nazis marched on Charlottesville and killed a woman, said there were very fine people on both sides. This is the same guy who, in 2020, told the Proud Boys, a white supremacist group, to stand back and stand by. And now every single day on the stump, he is championing and praising the insurrectionists who he encouraged to violently storm the Capitol in an attempt to overthrow our democracy. So it's not simply one comment. This is exactly who Donald Trump is, and this is exactly the threat that he poses to our democracy every single day.
Everything's Charlottesville. Everything's the January 6th insurrection. Now you've got the bloodbath that he's promising if he's not elected. The bloodbath narrative, they're going to run with it. In fact, there's a few. There's a few that are dialing it back just a little bit. Even Elon Musk, he's not buying it. He responded to a tweet by Joe Scarborough saying that January 6th, Scarborough says Donald Trump's America and he's proud of it. Promised another bloodbath as he loses again. He's got a picture there of the protest on January 6th. Another bloodbath. And look at what Elon Musk says in response. January 6th was not a bloodbath by any definition. And Trump was referring to job losses in the auto industry when he used that word. Your post is extremely misleading. You're misleading people, Scarborough. Remember, Barack Obama, he knows the power of words. He's got an exhibit coming out in his presidential library on the power of words. You know what else they know? How to take words out of context and just create these false narratives. Here is another one. It's so obvious, too. You just need to listen to 1 minute as we played for you. Listen to the Morning Meltdown, though, as they talk about the oncoming bloodbath that Hitler is promising. Clip 12.
Michael Beschloss, I want to ask you about Donald Trump increasingly sounding like a fascist, a dictator, mimicking them, and using words that are clearly out of the pages of some of the most powerful autocrats or dictators of our time.
We have never seen anything remotely like this in American history. A major party candidate is saying, you elect me, there's going to be dictatorship, bloodbath, violence, retribution against my political enemies. That equals what we saw in Italy and Germany and other places.
There you go, Hitler. There's your hot take for Monday morning. And you notice just how excited he got when she started talking about Donald Trump being the fascist, the dictator. Look at this. When the subject comes up, comparing Trump to Hitler, there you go. That's what you get. He is so excited. Now it's bloodbath. You can add bloodbath to the mix. Donald Trump is using high-impact words. And these people, I mean, they never use high-impact words, do they? Listen to this montage from Grabian, clip 3.
But as Politico.com reports tonight on the, quote, bloodbath at the RNC.
Headlines calling it a, quote, bloodbath.
Be a bloodbath. Not only is it going to be a bloodbath, but after they leave New Hampshire, it's a bloodbath on her home turf. That's really tough.
Trump has left a lot of corpses in his wake. I mean, we can count the bodies
as part of the, quote, MAGA drive to take over Maricopa County. And the headline refers to it as an impending bloodbath.
Columnist Charles Flo has a new piece for the New York Times entitled A Biden Bloodbath.
2018 midterms, you can bet that they 100% are fearing a slaughter. In fact, the word bloodbath and massacre come up frequently.
The Republican Party will be destroyed. It's going to be a bloodbath.
There's going to be a bloodbath one way or the other.
Bloodbath for Bernie Sanders.
It's been a bloodbath there, shaping up to be a bloodbath.
Head off a bloodbath in next year's crucial midterm.
Off-year elections are often a bloodbath.
This week's bloodbath for Democrats,
a bloodbath at the ballot box.
There could be a Republican bloodbath.
They'll talk about a bloodbath.
It's a bloodbath. I have to talk about you.
It's going to be a bloodbath all day long.
Is in for a bloodbath.
Hasn't been a bloodbath on the way down.
Donald Trump bloodbath.
Be a bloodbath.
Predicted to be a bloodbath.
May not be the bloodbath.
It would be a bloodbath.
More of a bloodbath.
It's going to be a bloodbath in November.
Possible Biden bloodbath this November.
A bloodbath on Wall Street.
There's going to be a bloodbath
in Alabama into a bloodbath.
Obviously, there was a bloodbath.
It was a bloodbath. We're down 800 points.
This bloodbath at Department of Homeland Security.
And it's a bloodbath today.
There was going to be this bloodbath.
Election bloodbath.
It could be a bloodbath for them.
Bloodbath, possibly.
Bloodbath that went through with the Attorney General.
Bloodbath 99 days out.
The bloodbath is going to look like.
Presided over a bloodbath in the diplomatic corps.
Absolute, in my opinion, bloodbath the Democrats.
The bloodbathers are really upset because Donald Trump, because China is circumventing U.S. laws on trade by this Mexico loophole, for Donald Trump to say that's going to cause a bloodbath in the auto industry. If he does that, well, of course, he's Hitler. He's promising violence. political, just like Charlottesville, just like the bloodbath on January 6th. As I say, Elon Musk is not buying it. My father's book here, America Under Attack, he begins this by talking how that the regime media is in lockstep with the dear leader, Barack Hussein Obama. Remember, they swoon. They swoon before Obama. And then with it's two opposites, right? I mean, Sundance is talking about how that this oncoming election, it's a battle between Americanism and communism. In fact, it's a battle between someone coming in the spirit of Antiochus and another coming in the spirit of Jeroboam. Antiochus versus Jeroboam. And in the opening pages of America Under Attack, my father talks about the media swooning before Antiochus. He can do no wrong. He is to be worshipped. I mean, the power of his word, everything he says, it's like canonized scripture. And everything Trump says, he uses high-impact words. It's like a dog whistle. He's promising violence. The bloodbathers, they're really upset because Donald Trump used their word. This is from America Under Attack. It says, when you see, what you need to see, rather, is that a dangerous spirit was at work here. He's talking again about the swooning media. My father says there's a powerful spiritual force behind such inexplicable behavior. You see, John 8:44 and other verses that I quote often, or at least refer you to, Ephesians 2:2, Revelation 12:9, Satan and his demon army, they've been cast to this earth. And look at what they're doing with words. They know the power of words. They certainly know that the truth will set you free. And so they're bombarding the airwaves with lies and deception. Bibi Netanyahu, you know how. Schumer went on the attack. Schumer won't go after Bob Menendez. You know, gold bars Menendez, right there in his own Senate. But he will go after Bibi. He will go after the sitting prime minister of Israel, demanding that Israel call for a new election to get Bibi out of the way. He gave that disgraceful speech last week. We played quite a few clips for you on a Friday show, I believe. But Bibi here, he's on with one of the talking heads here in America. And of course, she's on the attack against Bibi. And listen as he just tries to set her straight on the fallacies that the regime media just wholeheartedly swallows. This is clip 11.
There's a fallacy that is being perpetrated here. And you should take polls. You have your own polls and check whether the people of Israel support the policies that I'm being criticized for. That is supporting the policies of going into Rafah, destroying a quarter of the remaining Hamas terrorist army. That's like leaving a quarter of the Hamas, of the Nazi terrorist army in Germany and saying, no, we're not going to finish the last quarter, and we're not going into Berlin. Most Israelis overwhelmingly support the position that we have to go in. They oppose the idea of ramming down a two-state solution or a terrorist state against their will because they think that this will endanger Israel's future. They support those policies that I'm putting forward, and to present that as something that is, I'm an outlier, it doesn't represent the majority of the people of Israel, is simply a fallacy. And I'll tell you the other fallacy is, they're saying, well, most Palestinians don't support the Hamas massacre. In fact, 85% of the Palestinians do support, unfortunately, the Hamas massacre. So they've got two fallacies here, and you can readily check that.
There's more than two, but here he is. He's dropping truth bomb after truth bomb. Telling this reporter, she's over at CNN, listen, the people of Israel support me. The people of Israel want us to go into Rafah. The people want us to destroy Hamas. We experienced our 9/11 20 times over back on October 7. The country wants me to finish the job. And most Israelis also know that the Palestinians support Hamas by an 85% margin. So many lies. Ordinary Israelis, they oppose a two-state solution because they know it endangers Israel. And yet here we are, Chuck Schumer and company, Pelosi, all of them, the regime media. We're over here preaching at Israelis, saying that, as Bibi pointed out there, saying that Bibi, he's like an outlier. Nobody agrees with him. He's unpopular. It's the same lie that they say here. The power of words. Trump is Hitler. Trump is Hitler. But how many people believe it? And how many are just tuning them out like white noise? I mean, it's the same meltdown every single day. And speaking of words and using high impact words, as the guy said in the cold open, who is it that's actually inciting violence with their message? Listen to this. This is another montage from Grabian, clip 4.
What would a second Donald Trump term look like?
Well, he cannot be the next president. Because if he is,
you can't imagine the things that he's going to do. Mexico, Canada. We can't go to Canada because eventually Canada will become annexed to America
and shoot visitors to the White House.
Yeah, that means he can shoot the First Lady.
We're going to see violence the likes of which we didn't even see on January 6th.
Make it illegal to run against him, to throw his opponents in jail, to shut down the media.
He will make himself into the Fuhrer, and he will make everybody raise their hand and salute him.
Using martial law against the American people.
Terminate the Constitution.
To rewrite the Constitution.
Create mass internment camps.
Throw everyone into Gitmo.
Might be sent to jail, or their rights might be suppressed, especially minority groups in society.
You might have any number of things happen to you and your family.
Every one of us, our freedom, our liberty, none of us is safe.
He's going to have people around him executing against an enemy's list.
Assassinate generals.
Ordering troops to attack American citizens.
Trump's very well-armed and extremist base will try to kill people.
He's going to basically burn the house down.
He will unravel the institutions of our democracy.
Draw similarities between Mussolini and Hitler.
Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini.
Makes Donald Trump even more dangerous.
He wants to take away your vote.
Senate and the House are immediately going to be paralyzed.
People will begin in their minds to censor themselves. They might say, well, maybe I shouldn't say this.
This is the end of democracy.
I think that could be the end of our democracy.
But democracy is dead if Trump is reelected.
Cozy up to Putin that democracy will be at risk.
The absolute destruction of the Justice Department as we know it.
The Justice Department could be entirely transformed.
I am really concerned about that.
Every person who was associated with the attempted coup elevated in the administration.
He's reelected. He will curb transgender rights.
The end of the rule of law.
Arrest political opponents.
To persecute, not prosecute, but persecute his enemies.
Take a wrecking ball to the rule of law.
He's going to make the law. Everyone else will have to follow.
A vote for Donald Trump may mean the last election that you ever get to vote in.
High impact words. Quite a few of them in there. These people, that's Trump derangement syndrome on full display. Crazy and deranged reasonings. Crazy with a capital K. These people have lost their minds. We're looking at will worship. It's so revealing, isn't it? You can't see the speech. We cannot show you anything Donald Trump's except for the 10 seconds that we're going to carefully construct and take out of context if it fits within one of our narratives. That really is something, like I say, that you see on display daily. Let's go back to the Dayton speech and what Donald Trump said in Ohio over the weekend. He had a lot to say in this speech about the invasion at the southern border. Listen to clip 13.
Throughout the world right now, I don't know if you know this, crime is way, way down. You know why? Because they sent us their criminals. That's why. It's true. It's true. They sent, you know, Venezuela is down 66% because they sent us their gang members and their gangsters. They sent us their drug dealers and their murderers. They're all coming into our country. And Venezuela now, their crime is down. down 66%. And all over the world, crime is down because they've sent them to the United States of America. We have a stupid president that allows this to happen.
That's Donald Trump making some news. You don't hear anything like that at Morning Joe or elsewhere. All these people that rushed to say that he's promising a bloodbath on the streets on November 6th, assuming the election happens on one day. All of these people, none of them will talk about Venezuela crime going down because, well, they're sending their criminals here. They're getting rid of the gang members because the United States has a wide open border. This was a story from the New York Post. Just today or yesterday, a Lebanese migrant who was caught sneaking over the border admitted he's a member of Hezbollah and he hoped to make a bomb and his destination was New York. How about that? That's a newsworthy report or a newsworthy event. I guess at least they'll cover it at the New York Post, but I bet that's not at the New York Times or the Washington Post. Says here, Basil Abadi, 22, was caught by the U.S. Border Patrol on March 9th near El Paso. While in custody, he was asked what he was doing in the U.S., to which he replied, "I'm going to try to make a bomb." But Abadi later claimed in an interview that he had been trying to flee Lebanon and Hamas because he didn't want to kill people. So he changed his tune later on. But initially, "I'm here. I'm a Hezbollah member. And I was hoping to build a bomb. And I'm on my way to New York City." This was Donald Trump. Actually, why don't we play the New York City Mayor, Eric Adams. This is clip 8.
In an Eyewitness News interview, Mayor Adams said he's grateful for the manpower, but admitted it's really a job for the NYPD.
Wouldn't you rather have the PD doing it, though, all of it?
I would love it. That's why I put 1,000 police officers back in the subway system to really go after that visualization that we need. And that is why I'm continuing to push back on those who state we should be disbanding or defunding our police department. I want more recruits. I want more officers here, because that's what New Yorkers want.
Defund the police. That didn't exactly get a lot of traction, even among Democrats. He acknowledges there, New Yorkers want more law enforcement. Are you happy to have help from the National Guard? Well, yes, but I'd like to have more police officers there. That's Eric Adams. That's a Democrat who knows he's losing his city because of all of these illegal immigrants just pouring into these sanctuary cities. Listen to Trump again from Dayton, Ohio, clip 7.
Our country is being poisoned. Look, we have, and we can be nice about it. We can talk about, oh, I want to be politically correct. But we have people coming in from prisons and jails, long-term murderers, people with sentences that the rest of their lives they're going to spend in some jail in some country that many people have never even heard of. They're all being released into our country. These are murderers. These are people at the highest level of crime. And then you have mental institutions and insane asylums. I always say the difference is one is Silence of the Lamb. You know, it's a mental institution on steroids, okay? And those mental institutions and insane asylums are being emptied out into the United States. And then you have terrorists pouring in at levels that we have never seen before. This is a horrible thing. Only bad is going to come of it. A friend of yours, Sean Hannity, said it's 100% certain that there'll be big problems here very soon. He means an attack.
That's obviously not the Dayton speech, but that's an interview he gave recently on Fox News. This is from The American Thinker. It says, if you thought 2023 was a record year for illegals crossing into the U.S., think again. A new forecast holds that the U.S. is on track for a record additional 3.2 million illegal aliens coming into the states. 3.2 million this year. That's a million and a half every 6 months. Maybe more. Well, it's even more if you look at that total figure there, 3.2 million. It says, we forecast U.S. Southwest border encounters by Customs and Border Control at 2.7 million in 2024 based on the last 3 months of data adjusted seasonally. Apprehensions look to come in just a hair above 2023 levels. Inadmissibles, those presenting at official crossing points without appropriate documentation are slated to rise by almost 200,000, which points to the biggest problem with Joe Biden's open border crisis. It's not stopping. Nobody will stop it. It's because it's intentional. It's part of the plan. It's part of the fundamental transformation. It's what the dear leader wants. Fundamentally transform the United States. Listen again to Donald Trump from Dayton, clip 14.
And I would do the same thing if I had prisons that were teeming with MS-13 and all sorts of people that they've got to take care of for the next 50 years, right? Young people, they're in jail for years. And if you call them people, I don't know if you call them people. In some cases, they're not people, in my opinion. But I'm not allowed to say that because the radical left says that's a terrible thing to say. They say you have to vote against him because did you hear what he said about humanity? I've seen the humanity, and these humanity, these are bad. These are animals, okay? And we have to stop it. We can't have another Lakin. We have so many people. We have so many people being hurt so badly and being killed.
So he calls them animals, these murderers, these rapists. And just right on, no, it's another high impact word. You cannot call the illegals or the criminals animals. You can't do it. So they won't play the speech in its entirety, but these are the things they pick out. Oh yeah, he's promising a bloodbath. He called illegals animals. And yet there's Trump with a message that's very well received. We can't have another Lake and Riley. It could have been prevented. That gruesome murder in Georgia. Listen as he talked more about that, clip 15.
Lake and Riley would be alive today if Biden had not unleashed this savage attack on America. And that's what he's done. But instead of apologizing to Lakin's family, Joe Biden apologized to the killer for calling him illegal. I shouldn't have done that. Oh, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have called him illegal. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'd like to apologize to the killer. He's more concerned with the killer. He couldn't even pronounce her name right. He's more concerned with the killer than he is with Lincoln. And that's the problem. They're more concerned with criminals than they are with the people of our country that built our country, that are keeping our country afloat.
You think MSNBC is going to play a clip like that? Same speech. More high-impact words, he said of the fake administration, Joe Biden, the savage attack on America. It is savage. It is an attack. America is under attack. If you don't have that book, make sure you call our operators today. The 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. America under attack. Here's more from Dayton, Ohio, clip 17.
As you know, this has been an incredible week for our campaign, unbelievable week. And on Tuesday, we won Georgia, Hawaii, Mississippi, and Washington. And we won them in record numbers, by the way. I mean, the numbers are crazy. What the hell? What's going on? Something's going on here because nobody's ever seen, they've never seen numbers like this. You know what it is? They see how bad these people are that are destroying our country. That's what it is. And that's, in my opinion, what it really is.
They see how bad it is. And here again, in America Under Attack, my father talks about the bitter affliction and how that there's no helper for Jeroboam. There's no helper for Israel. God intervenes, as 2 Kings 14 says, intervenes to save Israel by the hand of Jeroboam. Something is going on here, said Donald Trump. Something's happening. It's almost like there's a spiritual dimension to this. Listen to Meet the Press as they're considering or exposing the panic inside the Biden team, clip 6.
We are getting this new reporting about the Biden campaign and about President Biden himself and how he is taking, especially all of these polls, which show him in some cases losing to former President Trump. Basically, our reporting says that Biden has grown angry and anxious about his reelection efforts.
Angry and anxious. Why? Well, because of these devastating numbers that keep coming out from Georgia, from Arizona, from Pennsylvania, from Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada. Throw Nevada in the mix, maybe Virginia, New Jersey. They're panicking, and for good reason. Donald Trump says, because people see, they see what this administration is doing to destroy the country. They see the two-tiered system of justice, injustice, in case of half of America, American greatness. This is by Victor Davis Hanson. He said Trump advisor Peter Navarro was convicted and sentenced to jail for failure to obey a congressional subpoena in the manner that both Eric Holder and Hunter Biden were not. So Navarro goes off to prison, and those two don't. They're not even indicted, nothing. I think I saw somewhere on Friday where the Supreme Court has intervened to hear Navarro's emergency appeal. This is fascinating to watch because it comes right out of America Under Attack. Jeroboam getting some help from the kingdom's court. The Supreme Court in the news more and more. But as to this double standard, listen to, again, VDH. It says Trump was indicted for making false statements in a manner that Brennan, Clapper, Comey, Wade, and Willis were not. I'm not even sure what false statements he's talking about, but the truth is that Brennan, Clapper, Comey, Wade, Willis, they can all lie. Wade and Willis did it just recently. And Wade has to leave, but Willis, you know, she skates free. The judge just didn't have the courage to send her packing as well. It's probably because he contributed to her campaign. He didn't have the courage to do what was right. And so he lets her continue, even after she lied under oath. They didn't go that soft on General Flynn, did they? They made his life miserable for what was it, a couple years? Second, it says, in such high profile, well, let me just back up. Biden disclosed classified materials. Comey likely did as well. And Clinton clearly violated the law by knowingly using an unsecured server for classified material. None were indicted. Second, in such high profile cases, prosecutors and judges find ways to justify not charging or pursuing those they deem guilty of breaking the law, either by claiming in the fashion Comey did in the Clinton case or her did with Biden, that a jury, in their opinion, would not convict them. Look, they are guilty of some law breaking here, but a jury wouldn't convict, so we're not going to press forward with this. And then when they don't press forward, then written, like within the report, Hanson brings this out, the Hur report or McAfee's ruling last week. I mean, they really issue some strong words. Some would say high impact words. McAfee says, yeah, they're guilty. Yeah, they lied. But we're going to let them go. I'll just tell Fannie that she just has to get rid of Wade. And then everything's taken care of. Wade resigns the next day and we're good to go. Back on the attack. Get Trump. It says here, third, note to excuse their laxity or unequal application of the law, judges and prosecutors blast the soon-to-be excused defendant as if such editorialization makes up for preferential exemption. That's what they're getting. They're getting preferential treatment. But the judge or the prosecutor, he'll issue a strongly worded statement. And nothing happens. No one's held to account. This take that Sundance has, how that this coming election, it's Americanism squaring off against communism. How many commentators are coming around to that realization? Well, it's been in this book for a number of years. First came out in 2013, of course, before that, and he was right. Herbert Armstrong was talking about the communist infiltration of the United States immediately following World War II. Tomorrow's News Today. This is from that Sundance piece. It says, the apparatus of the Republican influence system is not happy that President Trump has not reached out to Nikki Haley and her coalition of Democrats in order to solicit their support. The establishment's really upset with Trump, but because he hasn't tried to reach out to Nikki Haley in a way that he did with Mike Pence back in 2016. And there was another statement from Dayton, by the way, where Trump just mocked these people. They want me to be nice with these rhinos. They want me to try to win them over. And he basically said, with a little bit of coarse language, more high-impact words, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. And the people cheer him on in support. It says here, the MAGA movement should anticipate the professional Republican apparatus now looking to embed Bush, Cheney, Haley types to control the outcomes of Donald Trump and the likelihood of a successful presidential race. It says nothing angers the professional Republicans quite like ignoring them and being successful without their crustless triangle cucumber sandwiches. That's from Sundance. He says, finally, we have this one election to try and stop our nation from fracturing permanently into a state of control by the assembly of Western leftists. It's Americanism versus communism in 2024. And I think a better way to put it, as it is in America under attack, is that it's Jeroboam versus Antiochus. It's Jeroboam opposing the fundamental transformation of the United States of America. It is, as we've been discussing, all the attacks, all the lawfare, there's so many backfires. So much of what they do is just blowing up in their faces. Listen to Alan Dershowitz. He's the left-wing attorney, just kind of running through a summary of all these baseless cases brought against Donald Trump. Clip 9.
Every former president has taken classified material with them. That would not affect voters. I think the New York case would not affect voters. The case that would affect voters probably is the Washington, D.C. case. And that's now on hold as a result of the president's lawyer's motion for immunity. And all the pundits are predicting that it'll just be affirmed, and thrown out. I don't think so. I think the Supreme Court may well split the difference and say there is some immunity, not as broad as Trump wanted, not as narrow as the other side wanted. Let's send it back and see where it goes from here. These are all complicated cases. I could have taught a whole course at Harvard Law School just on these cases alone, but they all constitute, in effect, election interference. None of these cases would have been brought if Trump were not running for president.
And the regime media, they know this. None of these cases would have been brought forward were it not for the fact that this man here is running for president of the United States. I mentioned on, I think it was Friday, that decision made by the U.S. Military Academy at West Point to remove or revamp the mission statement, which includes duty, honor, and country. Richard Palmer wrote about this in the Morning Brief Friday. But this motto, it says, committed to the values of duty, of honor, of country, and now it just says vaguely, this vague statement, Army values. The American Thinker has this to say, West Point superintendent created a firestorm among the American public with his announcement that the words duty, honor, country have been deleted from the Military Academy's mission statement. The outrage goes far beyond West Point graduates. It includes veterans of all the services as well as civilians. These three hallowed words not only are West Point's motto, but they also serve as the moral guideposts for leading one's life It says the superintendent's new mission statement substitutes the vague term Army values for the simple and unequivocal duty, honor, and country. I mean, it says a lot about just how dramatic and how dreadful so much of the change has been in woke America. You look at the leadership, you look at how corrupted they were or are. Mark Milley moving on to make his millions. He was as woke as you can get. What a change when you compare it to someone like, you know, General Douglas MacArthur or some of the greats, Eisenhower from the World War II era. It says here, duty, honor, country are absolutes. Values, be they Army or civilian, are transitory. There's a reason why these three words were omitted from West Point's mission statement, and it's not good. In recent years, U.S. Military Academy, the other service academies, and our armed forces in general, like much of Western society, have all gone woke. Divisive Marxist concepts such as critical race theory, transgender indoctrination, advancement based on race and sex over merit, and diversity, inclusion, and equity, DIE, have undermined unit cohesion and morale, destroyed attainment of military recruiting goals, and severely hampered our ability to fight and win wars. I mean, these are dangerous warning signs. They should be. And yet, look at what Milley was doing when he was in charge. Look at the disasters he presided over. Look at what brought him to tears. It was all these woke agendas. This is from The Intercept. It says, since retiring from the military last year, former chair and Joint Chiefs of Staff Army General Mark Milley has become a senior advisor to J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, joined the faculties of Princeton and Georgetown, and embraced the lucrative paid speaking circuit. From military pay of $200,000 a year, Milley is sure to skyrocket to compensation in the millions, especially because he is represented by the same high-powered speakers agency as Hillary Clinton, and faced criticism in 2016 for her paid speeches to investment bank Goldman Sachs. What a slush fund. It's all over the place. The deep state, it's a swampy, swampy place. And people are making millions, millions upon millions. And they get away with crimes. And they get away with lying under oath. And they get away with defying Congress if they're Democrats. No problem. Milley's off to make his millions. Just to return to this American Thinker piece about West Point's motto. It says, while it's true that West Point's motto was incorporated into the mission statement only in 1998, the recent decision to drop those words, substituting imprecise and open to interpretation Army values, only weakens and occludes what ought to be clear and unequivocal, especially in today's dangerous and divisive world when we are flirting with global thermonuclear war. He says it's imperative that we get back on track now. A first step is to enshrine duty, honor, country in the West Point mission statement. Well, that's probably not going to happen. We looked back into some of the archives where Douglas MacArthur, I think this was when he was retiring, it's from back in 1962, his farewell speech, May 12th, 1962, and he's accepting an award in this particular bit. It's actually a video that just plays over the audio of MacArthur's speech, but you listen to these words, the power of words, in this case, you know, a really positive and powerful influence that words can and should have. It's MacArthur, General Douglas MacArthur, breaking it down, the importance, and we'll just play you a short excerpt, but the importance of duty, honor, and country. Play clip 18.
Duty, honor, country. Those three hallowed words reverently dictate what you ought to be, what you can be, what you will be. They are your rallying points to build courage when courage seems to fail, to regain faith when there seems to be little cause for faith, to create hope when hope becomes forlorn. The unbeliever will say they are but words, but a slogan, but a flamboyant phrase. But these are some of the things they do. They build your basic character. They mold you for your future roles as the custodians of the nation's defense. They make you strong enough to know when you are weak and brave enough to face yourself when you are afraid. They teach you to be proud and unbending in honest failure, but humble and gentle in success.
Some wise and very inspiring words there from an 82-year-old Douglas MacArthur. That was back in 1962. He would die 2 years later, a different time in America. I mean, coming into the 60s, America had some troubles in that time period as well. But look at where we are today. Look at how unprepared we are for conflict. Look at how depleted our supplies are. Look at the invasion at the border, 3.2 million this year. And the Joe Obama people, they're flying them in. Hopefully we'll hear more about the flotilla coming in from Haiti. More criminals, perhaps? More hardened criminals? Animals, in the view of Donald Trump? In the last days, perilous times shall come. The Apostle Paul said that in 2 Timothy 3. And we're certainly seeing it happen. If you're interested, by the way, in studying a bit more about General Douglas MacArthur. William Manchester, that's right. He wrote the great series on Winston Churchill. And he also had an excellent biography on Douglas MacArthur. I think it's titled American Caesar. It's from some years ago, but in a lot of cases today, the older the biography, the better it is. The better it is, because look at the new band of biographers. You've got like Michael Beschloss, the guy that, you know, gets so excited when they talk about Hitler and Trump, when they compare Trump to Hitler. I mean, he's really moved by that. A lot of historians, a lot of biographers are just like him. Beschloss, I mean. And it's sad. It's sad to see it. I mean, even Manchester, if you read some of his other writings, he came from the left wing. Hard to believe when you see what he wrote about Churchill and such, but what happens to the minds of some of these really good authors and biographers? It's so much worse today, of course, than it was back in the time that Manchester was writing his books. Well, that's all that we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, the email address td@thetrumpet.com. Thanks for joining us on today's show. We'll see you tomorrow.